Hey everyone, Andy here. At Bridgepoint, our mission is to help people, all people, get closer to God. Our Message podcast is one way that we're investing in that mission. So today, I'd like to start by asking a favor. If you enjoy our messages, please share this podcast with your friends. Message podcasts have played a huge part in my own faith journey, and I'm so grateful to the friends who've suggested things to listen to. You never know the life change that can happen through one simple share. Today is part four of our series, Satisfaction Guaranteed. Mick Jagger's lyrics in the classic song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction, mirrors the world today. He sings, cause I try and I try and I try and I try and I can't get no, I'm sure you know the rest. If we look at our world today, it seems that people are dissatisfied with everything, from their homes, to their jobs, to their friends, to their marriages. So what's the hope if we can't be satisfied with people, places, things, or ideas? In today's message, Tyler teaches that we are desperately loved by Jesus, and only through him can we find that satisfaction we yearn for.
All right, happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. How we doing? Everybody feeling good? Whether you're in the room at Tyrone, a shout out to our downtown campus, joining online, you're tuning in to Bridgepoint at a perfect time. And God is doing so much cool stuff. And I'm excited to see not only what today looks like, but what the next several weeks and months look like in the life of our church. God is at work and it's time to join. We're in a series, this is week four. We're going to begin wrapping it up today called Satisfaction Guaranteed. Because everywhere you go, our culture, our world, our life, your friends, or family and everybody else is promising satisfaction. They have a plan for it. For you, for me, for all of us. It's very fascinating to see. And yet, if you look around that same world, nobody's satisfied. Nobody. It's like we're angrier. It's like we're madder. It's like we're more charged up. We have more opinion. We're hurt more. It's our way or the highway. All of this world promising satisfaction. And yet when I look around, I see very few people actually satisfied. Why? Why? With all these guarantees, with all these promises, with everything that exists for us to find satisfaction, why is it that our world has such a hard time? If you've missed any of this series, you'll find it on YouTube. I hope you'll go back and catch up on it. I really think it's going to matter that much for your soul. I think it'll matter that much for your heart. But the why of this series is the reality that while this world may promise things to you, it doesn't have the capability to actually fulfill them for you. And that's a big difference because satisfaction ought to be, according to our culture and the world that we live in, we should look to the wealthy. We should look to the rich and famous. We should see people that are so at peace and so content because they've arrived, they've got it. And yet you look that direction and it's not so pretty sometimes. We could also look exactly the opposite. Well, maybe that's not it. Let's look to people that lack or have want or need or those types of things. And you can see equally the same. And then there's everybody in between. So where do you go? Where do you turn? Like, what's the hope in this world if we can't be satisfied? That's what I want to process with you today. That's what I want to talk about because I wonder if part of the reason we're missing what God has for us is because we're letting good things become God things in our lives. That's ultimately what an idol is. An idol is anything that takes a priority position in our heart. And idols don't have to be just carved golden images or poles like we read about in the New Testament. Idols can be anything, people, places, things, or ideas that we hold on to as if they can be for us something that only God has ever promised to be for us in our hearts and in our souls, in our lives. That's the important distinguishing today. And I know the temptation for all of us, myself included, is to be into week four of a series about idols saying, I get it, I'm good. But if that was true, then why do we still look out and see so few people satisfied? And if I could step on some toes of people in the church today, why do we see so few people in the church walking in that kind of satisfaction? Because if we were finding it in Jesus, if we were experiencing the fullness that he had to offer, then we'd find that satisfaction a little bit quicker. I'm reminded as a young pastor, I had a mentor at my last church, the senior pastor, that was kind of coaching me and developing me as a leader. And he prepped me very early on. And he said, I want to give you a challenge. I went to him and I said, all right, tell me as a young pastor, what do I need to be ready for? Give me some verses that I can bank on to make sure I'm ready to be the pastor God wants me to be. I got a lot of growing to do. Still have that in place today. But what is it to have my heart right? And he said, I want you to hear Proverbs chapter 27, verse 21. I want everybody else to hear this verse today. This is the writer of Proverbs. It's a wisdom book. And he said this, the crucible is for silver, the furnace is for gold. And then listen to this, and a man is tested by his praise. The crucible is for silver, furnace is for gold, a man is tested by his praise. In other words, the way to purify silver and gold is turn up the heat, and those impurities will expose themselves. And furthermore, you can actually remove them from those precious metals. For men, it's not quite that simple. Turn up the heat on me and I just get a sunburn. But put me in a position where I receive praise, and you'll get a real good indicator, as will I, about where my heart is. And isn't that the key of this message series, is what's going on in here that we seek satisfaction from? But what about just for you? The way God has gifted me finds me regularly on a stage in front of people physically, or a camera in front of even more. It's easy to see how my heart can be tested by praise, but this applies to all people. There are two things, in fact, that will really reveal the character of one's heart, and it's praise or how they respond in suffering. What does it look like for you? Is it about the next promotion? Is it about climbing that ladder? Is it about people recognizing your performance or the level of it? Is it about having the right title at work? Is it about having enough likes or retweets? Is it about the status you feel, the expectation you have to live up to, the attaboys that you receive, those pressures that come with performing so people can be like, wow, man, I just want to recognize what you've been through. Now, don't mistake me. There's nothing wrong with receiving good feedback, good affirmation, and good encouragement along the way. But you better believe if it becomes where you're living for those things, your heart will quickly reveal what's going on inside of it. What does that look like for you? A man's heart is tested by his praise. Where's the spot that you've been turning to other people to determine if you're doing a good job, if you're okay, if you've been receiving enough? Oh, here we go. We're gonna put it on the back screen. It's gonna be a fun day today. You're gonna get these big ideas right up in your face if you've ever had it before, all right? Let's skip ahead to the heart test, because here's what I want you to be in check of when it comes to your pride. Can I still do this with the clicker?
Yeah.
All right, go time, baby. That's the proverb I was telling you about. Yeah, how about our production guys? Quick and ready to rock and roll, all right? That's your heart, that's your proverb right there. But here's your heart test. How do you know if pride's beginning to creep into that heart? How do you know if you begin living for something a little bit bigger? Well, really quickly, when you feel like you're owed. When you reach the place in your journey to say, hold up, why can't I get that? Because that's a reflection of entitlement. I want you to think about it any given day. You want to reflect your heart. How often do you say thank you? Because if you're entitled or you feel deserved for something, thank you isn't necessary, because they ought to be thanking you for being there. How often do you compare ourselves to others? Because if it's about checking what's going on, it's about keeping up, or it's about getting ahead, or concerns that we're falling behind, that's a massive indicator about what we need to be on guard with related to our hearts. Last thing, a heart test to determine if you're too good in your own mind. There's pride in there. is when you become unable to learn from people that are not like you. I can't learn anything from them. They're so different than me, and my way is right. A man is tested by his praise. That's what God says. And see, here's the whole problem about idols. Here's the whole problem that we easily fall into. We easily drift into. We easily get caught up in it. And this has been the big idea of this entire series, is that idols will convince us that they guarantee satisfaction. That praise that we're looking for, that money that we hold tightly to, that relationship status that we're concerned of, all those things that we fight for or grip closely or worship or respond to or reorient our lives around, if we can just keep going down that direction, then we'll be okay. We'll be satisfied. Idols convince us that they will guarantee satisfaction. Actually, they void the satisfaction guarantee purchased by Jesus. Now listen, that's not because Jesus' blood, that's not because his sacrifice, that's not because his empty tomb wasn't enough. It's simply because we crowd Jesus out in our hearts to miss the satisfaction that he bought for us. And it's the temptation for every single one of us. Yeah, congratulations that we don't have gold carved images that we're worshiping as idols. But how many of us have good things that are taking the place of God things in our lives? And that's why this series, Satisfaction Guaranteed. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why it deserves such caution. Because again, back to how I opened, if we were getting this right more often than not, then the people that show up to church buildings and worship Jesus ought to be the most satisfied, peaceful, joyful people that exist. Unless we're crowding Jesus out in our hearts. When I was growing up, we moved around quite a bit, and I landed in sixth grade, right before seventh grade, in North Alabama. Because we were moving so much, I frequently would miss cutoffs for sports teams and didn't get to develop my athleticism or lack thereof at the same pace as everybody else. But when we moved to Alabama, football in Alabama, it's a football state, period, okay? And so I was like, well, time for me to show the world what I'm made of. So I went out and got drafted by the Chiefs, a seventh grade team, was meeting some of the other kids in the game, and I was fired up to be a part of it, simply because the Chiefs had no idea what this undrafted free agent, future quarterback star was about to bring to the table. All right? Little backstory about me. I love to play. I was the last picked. Let's just leave it at that, okay? That paints enough of a picture. But I'm showing up. I'm fairly new to town. I'm ready to play football. And we show up on the day where we're picking up our equipment. We got our shoulder pads. We get our helmet. And I'm thinking, man, why did they give me the helmet with a full cage? Like, this is the type of helmets that the linemen wear. I'm not going to need this, but they don't know yet. I'll forgive them. We keep working through things. And we show up to the first practice. And I'm getting my arm loosened up. It's feeling really good. I've been tossing lately. I'm ready to show this team what we got. And the coach said, all right, Tyler, I want to try you on the line. And I'm like, on the line? You mean like offensive and defensive line, right? Like, look at me. And he probably was, you know, husky section type of guy. I was built to block stuff or to tackle. But in my mind, I'm thinking, on the line? I'm a quarterback. I'm not only a quarterback, I am the quarterback. I'm here to help you, man. I'm here to help us win. I have arrived. He put me on the line. First practice was hard. Second practice as a heavyset individual was harder. My calf cramped up, convinced my parents to take me home, and I just let the coach know that I tore a muscle in my calf and I was off the team and done for the season. And sure enough, I never went back. Because in my mind, who I was and what I was deserving of was the quarterback. not understanding that my role on the team was actually that which would make the team better, not that which would simply feed my ego. And the temptation for far too many of us is to show up saying, "Congratulations, world, your boy's in the house." Instead of being so faithful to play the role that God gave us, that we're satisfied living out that purpose and watching him fill the gaps. I missed playing on the team. I missed developing in the sport. I missed gaining technical experience of what football was even all about because I wouldn't let go of my pride and play a position that I thought was beneath me. And I just watched the NFL draft where they talked about that football games are won and lost in the trenches on the line. Somebody in the house is a lineman and they're feeling good about it. It's a silly illustration from sixth grade, but can I ask us something to process for just a minute? How often does our identity, or even worse, how often does our worth get defined by an idol instead of who God says that we are? Because that idol might be promising us great success and satisfaction, but it will constantly demand from us to a place that will always leave us empty, broken, and lacking in life. And I wonder if we're looking across the culture here in America, seeing too many people that are trying to define themselves by something without God as a part of it. And God's just saying, "I have so much more than what you're settling for." If I could give you a thought today, it would be this, and I want to unpack it with you for just a couple minutes. We actually minimize our temptation toward idols by choosing the opposite of what they demand. Now, track with me. We minimize our temptation toward an idol by choosing the opposite of what it demands. My pride showed up and said, "I am your quarterback." And I forfeited my opportunity because I chose to feed that ego. Had I said, "I'm willing to be what the team needs me to be," I wonder what type of impact awaited me by choosing the opposite of what my pride told me to do. But what about in your family, in your jobs, with your friend groups or your followers, or the people that are tuned into your life? I wonder how often impact is available and we put it on the shelf because of pride. I wonder how often we have opportunities to diminish the impact of idols in our lives, but instead we go along with them and essentially give them even more power. I wonder what awaits us right on the other side of our willingness to surrender to what Jesus has for us instead of fighting for what we want for us. We minimize our temptation toward idols by choosing the opposite of what they demand. Let me make it make sense a little bit more by looking to the ultimate illustration and the one we gather at Bridgepoint to get to know more, and his name is Jesus. I want you to hear Paul's words about Jesus. May I remind you, Jesus was God, creator of the universe there at the beginning. And yet, as creator, Jesus' depth of love for you and me was enough that he put on flesh. He became human, creator becoming created just so he could execute his love plan for you and I. It's a wild story. Paul was changed by Jesus, changed by Jesus, and a leader in the early church. He wrote letters to churches to say, "Man, make sure you look back to Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Stay rooted in Jesus," just like we've sung about this morning. Paul says in the letter to a church in Philippi, we call it the book of Philippians in our Bibles now. Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes this: "Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead." Can we pause there? That's like the opposite of the culture that we live in. In looking to Jesus, Paul's reminding us as we look that direction, stop fighting to position you. Stop talking and manipulating to puff up you. Stop trying to put yourself at the top of the pecking order for you. And he continues, don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. My goodness. I want you to understand, as we talk about this, I think very much of the C.S. Lewis quote that says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. You're gifted, you're loved by God, and you're purposed by him. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. Ways to give yourself away, ways to walk in purpose, ways not to position, but instead to build others and lift them up. Paul continues, this is gonna get real. At least it did for me prepping this message. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. Jesus was God. If ever there was a human being to have lived that could deserve every ounce of the command of a room that would say, bow before me, he was worth it. He was God, he was King of all kings, Lord of all lords, and he ultimately held the whole world in his hand. And yet, he did not come with that perspective and that advantage. As Paul continues, he says, when the time came, Jesus set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, some translations say servant, by becoming human. Having become human, he stayed human. This was God that was willing to recognize he was God and set it aside, creator, to become created for a much bigger purpose. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. You see the power of that? This Jesus thing isn't about showing up to a king that proclaimed to the world, you ought worship me because I'm God. But instead a king that arrived and said, I'll set that aside so that I can serve and position others. How did he do that? The very next verse, Paul writes this. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Can I pause for just a moment in hopes that you and I, maybe I'm only talking to myself, can I pause for just a moment in hopes that we never lose sight of what that means? That God put on human skin and came and lived as a human being, though he was God, so that he could die as a human being, the worst kind of death, a crucifixion. So that for the rest of the human beings like us, we could know life. I don't know your story and your background. I don't know what brought you in today. I don't know what's been going on in your heart and your mind, where you are, even in your faith journey. But statements like this, like, I cannot offer you anything for that deep inside soul part. I can't offer you anything that could afford you the satisfaction of knowing this, that you and I, we are desperately loved by God. You are desperately loved by God in spite of your past. In spite of my brokenness and in spite of the ways we often don't get it right, in spite of the ways we stop saying thank you, in spite of the ways we feel entitled, in spite of the ways we look for relationships to satisfy us, in spite of the ways we hold tightly to finances or money or stuff or things to be okay with ourselves, when the biggest okay we could find for us is to know that you and I were worth the life of God that we would live. I hope that sits heavy today, because it is. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a made up. It's not a feel good. If you're hearing that truth today, Jesus came that he would die so that you and I could know life. It simply begins by saying, I don't deserve it. I'm broken. I'm imperfect. I don't have it all together. That's all of us. But it's by believing that what Jesus did on the cross, by believing that the tomb remains empty to this day, that that was enough, that by faith, by just simple understanding as best we can to say, I want that. I'm gonna choose that because there's not an offering on this planet that carries the kind of weight that that offering of Jesus does. And it's just committing your life to understanding it more. Pride. Pride says, I don't need help. I don't need that. I'm good. But Jesus says, anyone who would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. And that's available to you. That's available to you because of how much God loves you. It's a freedom for your soul. That's the biggest hope I can offer you today. Paul continues, and you look back to that truth, Paul says, when you're reminded of the depth of love that God had for you and for me, when we understand that sacrifice, God the Father in heaven, Paul continues, because of Jesus's obedience, God in heaven lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father. Understand, there will be a day when this broken world will end and we all, every single one of us, will have the full recognition of how magnificent and how beautiful and how powerful and strong and enough and good and loving and gracious and merciful that Jesus was. And there will come a day that every knee will bow before him and every tear will be wiped away by him and everything wrong will be made right because of him. And that day's coming. That day's coming because Jesus' death was enough to satisfy our souls. But if you and I continue the battle in our hearts that says, I don't need that, we will never know and experience the fullness of his goodness because he will not force that upon us. Today, the hope for your soul is to trust that Jesus was enough, that he was willing to set aside being God, to set aside the privileges of being God, to put on flesh like us, to come to this broken world that our sin has messed up, and to die a death so that we would have a way, a rescue plan out of that. And that relationship with Jesus, he promised, would be enough for life's best moments and for its absolute worst moments. In other words, looking to Jesus as our example, of all the things that we will go to try to find satisfaction from, we will minimize our temptation toward idols by choosing the opposite of what they demand. Jesus as God could have arrived and said, here I am, bow before me. But instead, he arrived and came to serve, not be served. So what in your journey and what in mine needs to look closer to Jesus? Are we giving too much power to money, closed, tight-fisted? Do the opposite and give it. Is it a power issue that we're struggling with, that we think I'm gonna stay in control? Then surrender. Is it a pride problem? You know the solution? Serve someone. Is it about comfort? Then trust Jesus enough to jump, even if you can't see the next step. Is it about status? Then point to other people and the work that they're doing. Is it about comparison? Go serve somebody. Give yourself away. May 23rd, we're gonna have an incredible opportunity to do that on a global scale. Put May 23rd on your calendars. Do not miss that day. Are you afraid in life? Is that what's driving you? Then love someone even that doesn't deserve it. Are you angry? Forgive. Are you struggling in relationships, bouncing from one to the next to the next? Then take a pause and be single for a while. Wrestling in your marriage, then say, I'm ready to do whatever it takes to fight with you, not against you. All of those things are exactly opposite of what those idols would demand for you. And in all of those things, to find satisfaction, you have to take them back to Jesus and do the opposite of what they're demanding from you. If I could leave you with just one thought, look to Jesus. I promise you'll find that satisfaction there only because he has been so faithful to me to provide it. But what if it's true that Jesus can satisfy our souls, then how would it change your outlook to live with nothing to prove and nothing to lose? Because Jesus is enough. How would it change your outlook to say, I don't have to get to the top? Because Jesus is enough. How much would it change your outlook to say, I got nothing to lose because Jesus is enough? CEOs, how freeing would it be to not have to fight for your own identity and status, but instead you get to serve because your job doesn't define you? Moms, dads, how freeing would it be to know that you're just stewarding God's children? He's not asking you to be responsible for their spirituality. What would it be to know that God's trusting you with the resources that he's giving you and you get to choose who to give it? It is not control of you anymore. How freeing would it be to know that because of Jesus, the sacrifice that he's done for me, I got nothing to prove, and because of his sacrifice, I got nothing to lose. I get to live a life that promises me that my satisfaction is guaranteed. That's only through Jesus. Can I ask you something really quick? I just want to wrap this up. Do you know Jesus? I'm not talking about him. We've sung a lot about him. We probably all could say we know about him. But do you know that God put on human flesh to do life with you by his spirit? Like to know you, to be with you when it hurts, to walk with you in the successes, to journey with you in the uncertainty, to remind you that you're loved in the brokenness, to point you back to the hope of a day that is still to come. That's the offer of Jesus, not me, the offer of Jesus, because he hung on that cross and his tomb is still empty. So if you're tired, if you feel like you're trying hard and it's never enough, if you feel unloved or unlovable, if it's feeling hopeless, if life's feeling lonely, if you can't keep up and measure up, if you feel like nobody cares, do exactly the opposite of what those feelings are telling you. And turn to Jesus, to trust him, to know him, to be forgiven by him, and loved completely in him. Because for your souls, like deep down inside, that's a satisfaction guaranteed. And I'd love for you to know it today. Would you pray with me? God, it is unbelievable. God, it's unbelievable that you could love someone like me, someone like us, in our brokenness, in our imperfections, our mistakes and our failures, in the moments that we try to clamor our way to the top, and in the moments that we'll step on others to get there, in the moments we feel like we've arrived, in the moments that we feel entitled, in the moments that we feel like we're earned something, God, in those moments, we're still loved by you, God. So today, for everyone present online and in the room, God, would you give us just enough courage and boldness to step toward you, to trust you? Because God, what if the satisfaction in our hearts and souls hinges on that decision? And God, I'm asking you that we build our lives on you, trusting you, maybe discovering for the first time that Jesus, you are enough. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Tyler asks the question, how would it change our outlook to be able to say, I have nothing to prove and nothing to lose because Jesus is enough? Let me give you a challenge. This week, think about what it would take for you to change your outlook and live as if Jesus is enough, because he is, and in him your soul will be satisfied. Have a great week, everyone.